Living Hope Assembly of God.
If you have your Bible, let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Some time ago, I felt like God really touched my heart concerning this passage of Scripture. And we want to be obedient to what God is saying. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, if I want to do something different this morning, I want to try to get in a better habit for doing this. If you will, out of reverence to God, let's stand for this, the reading of this word this morning. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an incorruptible and undefiled inheritance that does not fade away, kept in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in a last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while you will have had to suffer various trials, in order that the authenticity of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is trod by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, and in whom, though you do not see him now, you believe, and you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving as the result of your faith the salvation of your souls. Father, this morning I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will be glorified, that you will speak to my heart. God, I feel like you have a word for your people, God, and may we listen with open minds and attentive ears, Lord God, to what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated this morning. I feel like this is bigger, more bolder print. I'm going to do this morning. The title of my message this morning is going to be Fix Your Perspective. Fix Your Perspective. I want to talk about me for a moment. Sometimes as a pastor, we have to fix our perspective. And if you're going to be successful in life, if you're going to move forward in whatever God has for you, you have to learn to fix your perspective. Perspective is a particular attitude toward or a way of regarding something. It's a point of view. In other words, your perspective in life can cause you to succeed, finish, remain faithful to, or fail, or not to finish, and to be disloyal, angry, and bitter. Oftentimes, life on either side of that, at the end of the day, is about perspective. And this morning, I want you to challenge yourself this morning. I want you to be thinking as we go through the first part of this message, is how can I fix my perspective? Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Amen. In our text this morning, Peter wrote this letter with the intent of providing Christians with an eternal perspective of their earthly lives. He offered this perspective to a persecuted church that were experiencing intense opposition and suffering in an ungodly environment. He encouraged his listeners not to respond with violence or rebellion against their governmental institution. Instead, he implored them to follow the example of Christ who suffered at the hands of his captors but did not at any point retaliate with violence. How many of you will say this morning that it's hard to do? It's hard to have that kind of perspective in life at times. Can I get an amen? Sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes life is hard, and having the proper perspective is hard to do. In 1 Peter 5 and 12, Peter tells his readers, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is true grace of God, that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. 10 times in this text, we see that Peter mentioned the grace of God as being sufficient for the believer. I got good news for you today as the body of Christ. I know that we are in an age of grace, and I want to let you know today that this word grace has been slightly misused within the church. The word grace, the grace that God has given us, has not given us a right and a license to sin. Amen. But the grace of God, the real grace of God, is for the believer. Amen. The real grace of God is given to you so that you can live a life above reproach. No amens off that. Amen. This is the reason why God has extended his grace to you. Amen. And I know that there's a measure of grace for the world. I know it's by the grace of God that we're not consumed. I understand that. But those who are called and those who have been called by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ have been extended a measure of grace so that you can be and so that you can do everything that Christ has called you to. Amen. That's empowering. That God has given us his grace. You don't have to quit. You don't have to give out. You don't have to give in because you have the grace of God at work in your life. But in order to ignite, our theme throughout the year was ignite, and it still is ignite. And in order to ignite or to initiate this grace, get this grace started, man, we have to have the proper perspective. Because I promise you, when we look at the world around us, it's easy. It's easy to have a messed up view of life. When we look at the church around us, why so many people fall out of church because their perspectives are skewed. We got to have the right perspective. And if anyone in our text this morning understood sufferings, I want to let you know that Peter wasn't, when he wrote this to his listeners, his readers, he wasn't writing to them with the intent of minimizing their struggle. He wasn't writing them with the intent of saying, listen, I don't care if you're struggling or not. You have to do what we're asking you to do. As being one of the heads of the church of his day, he had the authority to write and to command and commission people as the church. So he wasn't writing them with the intent of belittling their struggle or minimizing their struggle. So as a pastor, as a leader, I know that you have gone through a lot in your lives. And when we stand up here and preach the gospel, we are not minimizing what you're going through. But I'm trying to open your eyes and give you a fresh revelation that you have the Spirit in God, of God inside of you, and that you are more than a conqueror. And you don't have to lay down when the devil comes pounding on you. But you have the Spirit of God inside of you, and you can stand up and fight back and be victorious. Amen. It's all about perspective. If anyone understood sufferings, Peter did. In fact, in Acts 5 and 41, after being flogged and warned to speak no further in the name of Jesus, he and the other apostles went on their way rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Are you willing to rejoice in the midst of your suffering? Are you willing to say hallelujah anyhow in the face of opposition? Amen. This is what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is called to be. And this is where we're called to do, to rejoice, in spite of, because I want to let you know that my perspective should be that opposite of the world, of life. If you're coming to the same conclusion of those who are unregenerated, you have the wrong perspective. When you look at life and all you can see is doom and gloom, when you look at life and you have no joy, you have no peace, maybe your perspective is messed up. Maybe you're looking at the wrong thing. I want to see a church that's excited about the things of God. If your perspective is different, maybe we can convince the world around us to change their perspective. If there's a scary situation and my family's with me, my children, and we know that something dangerous is going on, it's really dumb and kind of silly for me to turn to my children and say, "Ah! Can't you see that we're going to die in a minute? They have a fit." We need to let the world know that there is hope. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. We talked about it last week. He is the only way to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It may be scary. Life may get tough at times. That's why at times, guys, we need to shut social media down, turn our tweeters, whatever they're called, Facebook off, Instagram, and we need to just shut it down and begin to walk around our city streets telling people about the goodness of Jesus. I don't care what the news is talking about. I want to talk about what God is talking about. I know it's looking bad. I know there's riots, and I know people are against each other, but one thing about the family of God, we need to be together because we have an eternal perspective. Do you hear me? I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but somebody's going to listen. Thus, 1 Peter is a call to confidence and faithfulness. He wants them to be fully assured that Christianity is where God's grace is found, and therefore not to leave the faith. Reading between the lines, it seems that the Christians Peter addressed had started doubting. They began to waver. They begin to fear. They no doubt begin to wonder, because if they didn't, Peter wouldn't have wrote the letter. We know this is what's going on in our text. Why would they doubt that Christianity was where the true grace of God is found? The answer again is found in 1 Peter, in the book. Throughout 1 Peter, we have the reoccurring theme of suffering. In fact, Peter describes his readers' current situation as a fiery trial. Have you ever had a fiery trial in your life, a test, a situation where you don't know which way to turn? But can I tell you today, if I have a fiery trial, I have learned, because I've been in the faith long enough, that now that I am in Jesus, I would rather have a fiery trial. I would rather walk through the fires of life with Jesus on my side. Listen, when the three Hebrew boys went into that fiery furnace, they had an eternal perspective. They understood. They had a positive view no matter what took place. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most ruthless kings of the day. He went and he conquered. If he said he was going to do it, he was going to do it. And guess what? God was on his side. He was conquering nations and nations of people. He was a king, and in his day, they considered him as a god. And when he found out that these boys would not bow down to his image in the plain of Dura, the Bible says that he put them into a fiery furnace. But I want you to understand their perspective. If it had been me, I'd probably be like, "Hold up, wait a minute. God's grace is sufficient. I know he loves me. He understands my mind. He can read my mind. And my actions really don't matter at the moment. But, oh, King, you are God. Don't throw me in that fiery furnace. That's not what they did. But instead, they went into that furnace with the understanding that God was able. How do we go into our furnaces? What perspective do we have? I would rather walk through life with Jesus and suffer than walk through life and suffer without Jesus. That's why the world out there, the world outside of Christ, they think we're crazy. They're saying, how can you rejoice when your life is a living hell? How can you continue to go to a place and worship God, and there are so many priests and leaders who have done so many horrible things to children, and so many bad things have gone on inside of Christendom? How can you still go and be a part of something like that? Because we have an eternal perspective. We know why we come to do what we do. We know that we don't come here to worship man, but we come here to worship the living God. Are you with me this morning? From start to finish, within our text this morning, we see the same theme. Peter states, they are called to do good and suffer. Isn't that kind of the opposite of that? Do good and suffer? That's not typically what we like to hear. I like the saying, do good and receive favor. I like the idea of do good and man, if I do good, man, man, I'm going to have a new car, a new big fancy house. I'm going to have all of the niceties in life. Listen, who's a Bible reader in here? Who reads God's word? That stuff's not promised. But suffering is promised. Good morning. Suffering, trials, tribulations, troubles, over and over again, we see God's people facing those things. You know why? Because we're not of this world. We're just travelers that are passing through. If we gain that kind of perspective, your life would be so much better off mentally. If you understand that the person who attacked you on the job, I'm going to get an amen off of this one. The person who attacked you on the job, it's not them attacking you, really. But it's a spiritual thing. And when we have the right perspective, we'll understand that the battle that we're going through on our job and in life is not against flesh and blood. But it's against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. Can I tell you today that there's a spiritual world out there, and we need to gain a spiritual perspective in how we live life? I promise you, when we understand it from that viewpoint, we would stop making some of the bad decisions that we make in life, because we would begin to see into the spirit, the spiritual realm, and begin to see that there's a battle going on, and we see that in the book of Daniel. The enemy desires to take you captive and make you slave to him. He reminds them of the suffering of Jesus. He tells them of some of the benefits of suffering. All of this to help the people understand that the presence of suffering does not mean that they are outside of God's grace. You're not outside of God's grace. You're dead smack in the middle of God's grace for the believer who have the proper perspective. I need you to grab a hold of this morning, because I don't want you to leave here without the power and the tools to become successful in your marriage, in your life, in whatever else God has called you to do and who He has called you to be. It's all about perspective. There are two perspectives Peter wants them to have. Number one, he wants them to focus on salvation. This has to do with the past, present, and future aspect of salvation. In the past, they need to realize how the salvation they have received was longed for by those who went before them. In the present, they needed to realize that their salvation came with a calling, and that calling includes suffering. In the future, they needed to realize that God has something greater in store for them that no person or persons or thing can take away. Do you hear what I'm saying? Where does the Bible tell us to build our treasure? In heaven. The enemy and his army cannot invade heaven and take what God has in store for you. But I want to let you know something we learned in the life of Job. That your temporal treasure can be taken away in a matter of seconds. And that's why you shouldn't build your treasure here on earth, but it should be built in heaven. In other words, God is not saying that you shouldn't have earthly riches, but earthly riches shouldn't become your God. It's all about perspective. See, some of us who have gained a lot of success and have a lot of money, we know how to use our money. What most of us know that whenever God places something in our hands, it is God that gave it to us, and we know that we have to be faithful with what God has given us. Next, he wants them to focus on conduct. Conduct is everything, church. Do you hear me? In one passage, he said, suffer, paraphrasing, so that they will see the good of God inside of you and be drawn to God. Paul bragged about being in prison so that many will be saved. What kind of perspective did Paul have? You're inside of a prison. Instead of slandering and talking about the individuals that place you there, Paul says, since I am here, may God get the glory for it. He had a heavenly perspective. You may not have the best of health right now. Your life may be jacked up, but you can still have a proper perspective. People who walk around life bitter, angry, and the whole nine yards, nine times out of ten, those are some of the most unhealthy people. Bitterness will kill you. It's like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. The right perspective, because nine times out of ten, the person that you're thinking about and you're so angry with, they probably don't have no idea that you're angry. Unless you call them every morning, I'm angry at you. Then they're going to have you put in a mental institution. Focus on conduct. The conduct Peter wants them to display falls into two categories. First, they need to be holy. How many of you know that the Bible says that we are to be holy as our God is holy? And the Bible also says that holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. So in other words, God requires for us to walk in His holiness, in His righteousness. Despite the sufferings they are facing, they need to be committed to living holy lives. Second, Peter wants them to focus on submission. Christian conduct is tied to submission. And submission, when we look at that terminology, submission simply means obedience. Obedience to who? obedience to God, His word, His way of doing things. I promise you guys, I've been around the block a few times. I have found out through trial and error that when I am disobedient to God, man, it has unhealthy benefits. But when I am obedient to God, listen, it has healthy benefits. And you know how I get to this twisted mindset of being disobedient? It's because it's all about perspective. Adam and Eve had the idea that if they ate where God told them not to eat, that they would be like God. How did they derive at this place? They derived at this place because the enemy slipped a lie into his conversation with them and twisted their thinking. You need to understand that God has given you a perspective, a way of viewing things, and you don't need to let any other outside noise come in and twist what God has already ordained in your mind and in your heart that comes through His word. Amen. If you want the proper perspective, pick up the word of God and begin to diligently read and study the word of God. It's not good enough to come to church on Sunday. It's not good enough to come to church on Wednesday. It's not good enough to do whatever we are doing inside of the house of God. But it is most important that we submit and commit to reading God's word and living it out on a daily basis in order to have the proper perspective in life. What is your perspective when life is caving in on you and you don't see any way out? What is your perspective? What is your perspective when you get the phone call in the middle of the night with some trouble? What is your perspective when you turn on the news and you see another group of Christians across the world being slaughtered? What is your perspective when we turn the news on and we see the things that are going on in our government, and we see the things that are going on in other cities that begin to shake the very foundation of which Christianity stands on? What is your perspective? If you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter 50, we're going to look at verses 4 through 11 in just a moment. The prophet Isaiah talks about his own experiences and challenges to the people, and at the same time, he gives us a prophetic message about the character and suffering of the Messiah, the Christ. The prophet says in verse 4 through 11, "The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He awakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed." Number 5, "The sovereign Lord has opened my eyes to have, I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting, because the sovereign Lord helps me." Somebody look at your neighbor and say, "God helps me." He helps you. He's your help. "I would not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like garments, and moths would eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. But now, all you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. Can you imagine being the prophet Isaiah at the most darkest time of his life? He could see his oppressors coming with flaming torches set ablaze. And the words that came from his mouth dripped with a prophetic utterance that streamed from the eternal throne room of God concerning the life of Jesus. His focus, his perspective was not on the circumstance, but his focus was on God, and his outlook of the situation was that God is in control. Can you imagine being Isaiah in our text? Can you imagine being Isaiah, period? Because Isaiah, according to the book of Hebrews, when it begins to talk about the saints, the faithful saints, and what we call the heroes of faith, when it gets to the point where that psalm was sown into, history teaches us that that was the prophet Isaiah. He was martyred. He was killed for his faith in God and for what God had told him to say. Why was he able to do that? Because he had a proper perspective. He says in verse 4 that God would give his servant a word in due season when they are suffering. Has God ever spoken to your life when it seems like death all around? Has God ever spoken to you when you felt like dying? And when he spoke to you, life began to come. I want to talk about a man for a moment. His name is King David. But before he became king, the Bible talks about him in 1 Samuel chapter 30. He is on the run from Saul, and in the midst of that, his faithful 600 men following him. He has 600 men following him faithfully. But things turned bad when the Philistines raided Ziklag, burning it to the ground and taking women, children captive. The Bible says that once they saw what the enemy had done, David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength to weep. The scripture goes on to say that David was greatly distressed, for the people talked of stoning him because all the people were bitter in spirit, each over his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. In the NIV, it says it like this: David found strength in the Lord his God. In the midst of the most terrible time of his life, he's already on the run. He's raised up 600 men that are faithfully following him. But as soon as circumstances turned sour and things were not looking good for those that had followed him, they turned their backs on David and they talked about stoning him. What kind of perspective would you have in a situation like that? Both David and Isaiah understood one thing, and that is God was their sustainer. He was their sustainer. Guys, whatever you're going through in life, God should be your sustainer. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 30, 7 through 8, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, please bring me the ephod. Or please bring the ephod to me. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. David inquired at the Lord, saying, should I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Question, what did David do? He didn't run, did he? He didn't hide. He didn't make any accusations against them. But David already had the proper perspective. Time and time again, we see David having the proper perspective. When Saul was in the cave, Saul was squatting, using the restroom. Hate to be so blunt, but he was taking care of some business, and David comes in and cuts off a snippet of his robe and could have killed him. Why didn't David kill Saul? He had the opportunity to do it. He understood. He had the proper perspective that this was not the way God intended for things to go. Sometimes when we have a misunderstanding or skewed perspective, sometimes we act when God is saying, be still. Sometimes when we have a twisted perspective, we do things that God is not telling us to do. Did David within himself have a right to kill Saul? Yeah. He had a right, but he didn't use that right because he understood the plan of God for his life. He inquired of the Lord and he asked God, should I pursue after this raiding party? Will I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue them, for you will surely overtake them and will surely recover all. When we have the proper perspective, and if we're allowing God to lead us, not only will you overtake the enemy, but you will recover all. It may not look how you want it to look. I am so thankful that I chose to serve God 16 years ago because God has given me more than I ever could have achieved or done without him. Amen. Amen. Do we need Jesus today? David and Isaiah understood God to be their support, the one that would keep them from falling. He was their aid to assist them in time of trouble, their support, and the one that will hold them up when troubles were severe. This morning, some of us need to fix our perspective. The situation may be bad, but our God is good, and he's faithful and just, and he will fight for you. You need to fix your perspective. When God is our sustainer, we learn to depend upon him and not ourselves. David told Abiathar, the priest, so please bring me the ephod. And the Bible says that he inquired of the Lord. And when the enemy in life is showing us one perspective, because David saw one perspective, it is imperative that we learn to inquire of the Lord so that we can gain a biblical perspective. Somebody say a biblical perspective. A biblical perspective is a God-type perspective. It would be awesome. And it would be accurate, and it should be the way that we live our lives, that every time we face a situation, scripture began to pop up in our minds. And because I'm human, I'm flesh. Oftentimes when the scripture pops up, there's a war that starts to go on. Amen? We come to a place where we're either going to obey the scripture or we're going to obey God. But in order to obey God, I'm going to keep saying it until we're done today, we need to fix our perspective. A proper perspective will cause you to give more so you can get more. A proper perspective is realizing that life is not about us, but God has saved you so that others will be saved. That's a proper perspective. There's no other way of looking at it. The Bible says in verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 50, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. One of the hardest things to do is keep offering what you have without getting something back in return. And the church said, amen. Because that is the truth. It's hard for us to keep on taking things, hurting ourselves, putting ourselves out there, and never getting anything back in return. Peter, in our text this morning, is letting his listeners know that if you're going to go through the process, that we have to be willing to give of ourselves and not expect anything in return. If you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verses 35 through 36. I want to convince you with scripture because I didn't get very many amens when we crossed that bridge. I want to convince you with scripture and hopefully we be convinced at the end of the day that your life is not about you. Your life is about pleasing God and winning others to Jesus. If you're born again, I want you to understand that God saved you so that somebody else might be saved. Jesus came so that the world will be saved, that they might be saved. But since he's not going to send a loud voice down from heaven and say, be saved, he can do that. He can. He's God. But he's not. He's going to use you. He's going to use me. He's going to use the church. In Luke 6, 35 through 36, Jesus is speaking, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Somebody say amen. That's hard. Is that easy? Why? Why is it not easy? Because that goes against everything that our flesh likes and desires. But in order to get to that place, the saying goes, practice makes perfect. The more we learn not to return evil for evil, the better we'll get at it. The more we learn to replace our negative attitudes with positive thinking, the better we'll become at it. Positive thinking is, scripture says it, paraphrasing, think on these things. Why would he say that? Because he understood that they were not thinking on those things. Because it's so easy to become angry. It's so easy to have an improper perspective. He goes on to say, without expecting to get anything back, then your reward will be great. Sound very reminiscent of 1 Peter. He says, if we don't repay evil for evil, if we give to our enemies and not expect anything in return, then your reward will be great. Talking about fixing your perspective. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. If I love my enemy, I'm going to get some kind of reward. I want to give you the answer today. Your reward may not ever come in this life. Yes. Are you okay with that? If you're not okay with that, you need to fix your perspective. You may not ever get an apology for how bad you were hurt. Are you okay with that? I'm going to say it again. You may not ever get an apology for how bad you were hurt by them. Are you okay with that? See, because a proper perspective will cause you to pray for them. A proper perspective would not allow you to wish evil on anyone. We have Christians in this day and time, they're as bad as someone who doesn't know the Lord. We're spewing out all of this garbage out of our mouths and expecting the world to be drawn to God. Why do you think God wants you to do good to your enemies? Why do you think God desires for you to love your enemies and not mistreat them? He's wanting them to see him inside of you. But what happens so often, because we have a twisted, skewed perspective, whenever we're hurt, whenever we're offended, boy, we really put on the war clothes and we stand out front and say, wait a minute, God, let me handle this one. In order to get to this place in our hearts, we must fix our perspective. Did you hear me? In order to get to that place in your heart, you must fix your perspective. We must see people the way that Jesus sees them. And I want to let you know today that Jesus loves everybody. He loves everybody, for God so loved the world that he gave. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you have completely given of yourself? But you're not receiving in return. And if you find yourself saying that I'll never do it again, I'll never let anyone use me like that again. You might have a skewed perspective, because if that were me, I'm getting ready to wrap it up in just a moment. If that were me, if I had that kind of perspective, I wouldn't be in ministry today. If I had the perspective that, no, they'll never hurt me like that again. No, you can't treat me like that. I'll never let you speak to me that loud again in a foyer like you spoke to me in front of everybody. Shame me and everything. I never do ministry again. That would never happen again. But I realized that man didn't call me. God called me. And if I have a proper perspective, I'm not going to stand before man. I'm going to stand before God. I have to be obedient to God. If you have a proper perspective, no matter what you're facing in life, man, you're going to make it through, because God is on your side. You know that he's fighting for you. Christ would endure suffering, humiliation, and disgrace in fulfilling his purpose. Isaiah in our text endured suffering, humiliation, and disgrace with the purpose of rescuing people from the consequences of sin and restoring their relationship with God. The bigger picture and proper perspective is when someone is acting evil, malicious, and ungrateful, that is a spiritual problem. Are you getting it? Your responsibility in the midst of that, in that matter, is to offer kindness instead of retaliation. It's a hard place to be. And I'm just going to share these two stories, and we're going to get ready to let you go this morning. If you can, come to the piano. We got to grab a hold of it, guys. If we want to be what God has called us to be, we got to fix our perspective. Fix your perspective. I remember I was working on a job in Texas, and there was a gentleman on a job. He treated me terrible, really bad. And he did it for a period of time, and eventually some others began to notice it, and there was this meeting called, because I wouldn't respond to his actions. I wouldn't respond to his negativity. And every time I would respond with something positive. And some of the guys that were not saved, that were not born again, they thought that I was being ran over. They thought that I was being a carpet. They thought that I was being used and abused and spoken to harshly by this individual. And they thought that I should take up for myself. They thought that I should do something that would cause this person to realize that I'm a man and I'm bad to the bone. But I remember my boss calling the meeting. And after that meeting, the individual came up to me and he spoke to me. He apologized and everything for how he had been acting. Not long after that, I started a Bible reading, devotional time, prayer time right before we would start work. And this guy eventually started coming to that little meeting that we would have about 15 minutes before work would start. And somewhere in the middle of that, our relationship kind of started to shift, and he started sharing with me some things. I'm talking about fix your perspective. And this individual came to me one day. We were working together. We were put together, and he began to share with me about when he was growing up as a kid. His father owned a construction company, and he had different people from all walks of life working for him, but there was this group of people that really would not work well with them. And sometimes they'll call in, they wouldn't work, they act like they couldn't get it, they couldn't catch on, and all of those things, and whatever have you. And they were missing work like crazy. And I learned that this person had projected those individuals onto me. Why did he do that? Because he had a messed up perspective. And we're going to talk about that again next week. And I remember earlier on when Adrian and I had first gotten married, she would come to me and share her heart with me about various things. But it was hard for me to gain a perspective at times of where she was coming from. It caused us, we would go back and forth and argue about different things. I know I'm putting our business out there, but it's real life. How many ever had an argument with your spouse? Don't raise your hand, because you're probably going to have one when you get home for raising your hand. If you'll stand this morning. We found ourselves in fight after fight because it was difficult to see her angle, her perspective. I found out that perspective art, perspective drawing is for something to be drawn three-dimensionally. Some people might walk in here and they not be able to see it. They might be like, that's just a flat piece of paper. But those who have an eye for it and able to see it, they can see the dimensions, the different dimensions of that drawing. And sometimes we have to view life that way. Sometimes life is very dimensional. And sometimes it's just a drawing. And sometimes the enemy wants us to see it one way, but God is wanting us to see it a completely different way. But it's all about perspective. We can leave this place here today having the proper perspective of where God is trying to get us to be. Or we can leave this place today with a skewed perspective, a distorted perspective. No matter where you are in life, no matter what you're going through, I believe God's word. I don't care if my health is bad. I don't care if I'm going through difficulty after difficulty. I believe God's word. I believe that I am more than a conqueror. Christ is strengthening the church. Can't you see him? Can't you feel him? Don't you know that he's real, that he's greater than your circumstance? He's greater than your situation? It's all about perspective. It's hard to see. I love the illustration that I saw a pastor he gave. He had a picture that was painted and he on the screen, and he was up really close to the picture, about this close. And it's really hard to see the bigger picture at this angle. It's hard to see the right perspective and have the right perspective from this angle, guys. I can't see what you see. We can't see what God sees at times, but we gotta trust him in the midst of it. It's hard to see when you're going through the situation. Do you hear me, church? But it's hard to see when life is giving you chaos that there's going to be control. It's hard to see when life is giving you chaos and God is going to give you consistency. It's hard to see when life has burned down everything that you ever worked for and God is going to turn it around and give you beauty for your ashes. It's hard to see. It's all about perspective. But when God is done with you in this situation, and we're going to talk about it next week, but when God is done with you in this situation and you turn and you see, slowly brings you out of the situation, the more you walk with God, the more you talk with God, the more you allow him to be your Lord, your perspective starts to change. And eventually, you're not as close and you're not in the fire like you once were. You're out of the fire and you can see the bigger picture now. And we can say, welcome, we're glad you're here. We can say, God, welcome, we're glad you're here. And I'm glad that you saw me through the fire. You'll close your eyes today and just begin to focus on God. He's your deliverer. He's your strength. He's your ever-present help when you are in trouble. Fix your perspective. God is fixing your perspective even as I speak. Somebody's perspective. You've been thinking very negatively lately. You haven't allowed God to give you the bigger picture. God's wanting to give you the bigger picture today. He's wanting to fill you with joy again. If you're here today and I don't know, you'll say, Pastor, that spoke to my heart today. If you'll raise your hand just where you're at, amen. I see those hands. I see those hands. Praise you, Jesus. If you're, put your hands down. We're going to pray as a family in just a moment. But I want to say and make a specific plea today. If you're here today, your perspective has been messed up about God, about a relationship with Him. And you're saying today, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to commit my life to Him. Because God, in this service, has changed my perspective. If that's you today, let me see your hand. If you want to give your life to Jesus. The Bible says that if we be ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of us before His Father in heaven. We're serious about committing ourselves to Jesus. I want to let you know that He's taking you as you are. He loves you. He adores you. The enemy has lied to you and made you feel like you're not loved, like you're not appreciated. But today I want to let you know, fix your perspective, because Jesus loves you. Sometimes the enemy, he's tricky. We're saved, on fire for God, in love with Jesus, but our perspective gets off at times. My perspective gets off at times. Wonderful thing. No matter where you are, God is near to you. He's speaking to your heart. Even if you don't come, let Him speak to your heart. Let His Spirit minister to you right where you're at. Let breakthrough come in your life. May you this place, I'm talking about, on fire for Jesus. Amen? On fire for our Lord and Savior. He's wonderful. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise. God, I pray, Lord God, with the individuals that raised their hands and the ones that are at the altar, God, I pray, Father, that you will have your way, God. That you, Lord God, will fix their perspective. God, whatever season they're in life, fix it, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be everything that you have called us to be. God, set us on fire for you, Lord Jesus. Fix our focus, God. Help us to be committed. Help us to be submitted, God. God, I pray that you would help us with our call. Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, that when we leave this place, that negativity, bad thoughts, bad habits, and everything else will fall at the wayside. And that we will allow you, whenever we're faced with situations, to give us the proper perspective. And Father, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. In Jesus' name.
Living Hope Assembly of God.